it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on our weekend kickoff edition of Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. Come by, say hey to me and Mike. We're here till 7 p.m. Then Thursday night football kicking off this evening. Meanwhile, Saturday, we've got an 11 a.m. start. LSU versus Vanderbilt. Voice of the Commodores, Andrew Allegretta. Happy to join us now. Andrew, thank you so much for the time, man. How's it been going?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing great, Andrew. Man, what a run for the Commodores, right? I didn't know if this would work with Clark when he first took over. I know he was the linebackers coach at Notre Dame, then became the defensive coordinator there for Brian Kelly. And two out of the first three seasons, it didn't look real good. But, man, last year goes to show, too bad Bobby Hebert here. He would really be patting me on the back. Quarterback makes the difference, huh? Diego Pave, he's doing a fantastic job. And he's college football's version of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he's really tough. He's a ton of fun to watch. He's got genuine confidence. It's not fake confidence, guys. It's a real genuine belief that anytime he steps on the field against any opponent, he can be successful. You talk about 23-24, which is that reset you're talking about with Diego Pavia. Yeah. Like Clark Lee talks a ton about everything that they were able to bring into that program from 23-24. Guys, like I still have this very vivid memory talking to Clark after the Tennessee game in 23, where he told me everything we've been doing, it's going to change. And it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to execute the reset really well. And they found the perfect people for the program, whether it's Diego Pavia, whether it's bringing in Jerry Kill, who's got this tremendous track record of being a head coach and resetting programs. Tim Back, our offensive coordinator, is a name that I don't think gets enough credit. Like, he's been a wizard at dialing up plays. So Clark, I think, gets a lot of credit for basically saying, after 3 years, I've figured out what my program needs to look like, and I'm going to execute it perfectly.
And they've been also aggressive in the transfer portal. Man, if my memory serves me right, aren't all five offensive linemen that's starting all from the transfer portal?
Yes, over the course of a couple of seasons. Like,
okay.
We don't call it right guard and left guard. We call it quick guard and strong guard and whatever. One of our guards is a transfer from a couple of seasons ago, Chase Mitchell. So it's not all this season, but it is a offensive line flip over the course of a couple of seasons. Yeah, and we decided to double down in the portal on the trenches. Like, doesn't matter how much resources, financial, whatever you have, at some point it's finite, and we decided to allocate the percentages to the offense and defensive line, and that's made a huge, huge difference for us this season specifically.
Eli Stowers at tight end, because he was a young man that I think had he come out last year, he probably would have been an early day three pick, probably in the fourth round. Decided to come back for another season at Vanderbilt. For people who maybe aren't that familiar with the Vanderbilt program, give him a little bit of a scouting profile on Eli Stowers.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, big, fast, one of your modern tight ends that can kind of almost look like a wide receiver out there. He's a guy that went into college as a quarterback at Texas A&M, eventually transferred out of there, went to New Mexico State, was maybe going to be a quarterback at New Mexico State, but then transitions to the tight end position and came with Diego Pavia, with Tim Beck, with Jerry Kill. Again, he's just big. He's tall. He's got a ton of speed. I think he runs like almost 22 miles per hour at his height, which I think is 6'2", 6'3"-ish, whatever it happens to be, big-bodied guy. Teams certainly have identified him as a major piece that you have to take out of the offense. His numbers aren't huge this season, but he had 3 100-yard receiving games a season ago, and one of them was the upset versus number one Alabama.
When you look at how they set things up offensively, this is a team that likes to make hay in first and second down and keep it short on the third down situations where you're not putting your quarterback and your offensive line in stress positions. So, and they're one of the top in the country in doing this. And, man, I'm impressed with the scheme offensively to just kind of catch you a little off guard on first and second down. Then it's third and two or third and one. And, you know, you could do a lot of different things off of that, especially when you have a quarterback with the movement skills of Pavia.
Yeah, that's pretty much the whole game plan to me. I think it's going to be one of the biggest factors in our game on Sunday. You know, we're number one in the conference in third down conversions. I would say most teams that execute that are living in third down and three, not third down and nine.
Yep.
You know, I mentioned the fact that I think Tim Beck has been a wizard. This isn't really a true option offense. When you say option, people think about Jeff Munkin and Army or Paul Johnson and Georgia Tech or whatever. It's not that. We don't have A-backs and D-backs, but you've got different looks off of most of the plays, and you do have some option-type plays. You do have straight drop back in there. You've got straight handoffs and pistol. Chris Klonakis is our offensive line coach. He used to be at Nevada when they invented the pistol back in the 1990s. So it's got all of this sort of cocktail in it. And because there's so many different looks and so much motion, yeah, you're trying to go second down and six, third down and two, it converts. And one of the big struggles we had versus Alabama is we didn't live in third down and three. We kind of lived in third down and six and third down and seven, and we didn't sustain enough drives. So if we're third down and three, Vanderbilt this is, against a really good defense in LSU, we're in pretty good shape, and we might win the ball game. But if Blake Baker's defense keeps Vanderbilt in second down and nine or third down and 10, like, that's a pretty good shape for the Tigers.
One of the things when you play LSU now, because they haven't been able to run the football very well against anyone, has been protection, being able to get pressure on Garrett Nussmeier to affect his throw. How has that been from a pressure standpoint and the coverage? One thing with LSU, man, they got receivers that can run. Now, sometimes they don't catch the ball consistently well, but, man, can they run. They really hit the stress button on you because of the speed level. Can Vandy have that type defense to put a lot of pressure on Garrett on a consistent basis?
I think it's possible. I don't know if they will. I will tell you this. Alabama's offensive line was doing a great job protecting Ty Simpson. I think it was one sack from the Florida State game all the way through the Vanderbilt game. And then Vanderbilt had four sacks of Ty Simpson, all of them by defensive linemen, not linebackers, not safeties blitzing. It was by four defensive linemen that got to Ty Simpson. Does that mean they're going to do that again to Nussmeier? I don't know. Steve Gregory is our defensive coordinator. He is not like rush six, rush seven, quite like Blake Baker might be, but he is very strategic and timely with getting after the quarterback. And I'll tell you this, guys, blitzing the quarterback is what totally flipped the game for us versus Virginia Tech. Kyren Drones, whatever struggles Virginia Tech is having this season, is still a darn good quarterback, and they found success in the first quarter. And then midway through the second quarter, Steve Gregory, the defensive coordinator, again, just threw caution to the wind and got after Drones, and it totally changed that game. So can they do it against Nussmeier? Entirely possible. Again, they did it versus Simpson. They've done it versus Drones. I think they made Lenora Sellers uncomfortable versus South Carolina. Will they? I don't. We'll find out. But they've got that in their bag.
Andrew, one of the things in a game that, you know, none of us were doing TV or radio in 1948, because that was the last time Vandy was favored over LSU. But it comes down to special teams and the kicking game. And your thoughts on, because a lot of times when you know maybe you can't match up personnel-wise, you try to win that part of the game. You don't want to tie. You want to win the special teams part of the game. How has that unit for Vandy played this year?
It's been pretty good each of the past couple of seasons. In fact, it's been one of the stronger things for Clark in his 5 years here at Vanderbilt. But as far as this team specifically is concerned, you know, the punting unit has been fine, you know, quite frankly, through the first 4 games of the season until we hit Alabama. And kind of down the stretch, we didn't really need to punt a ton. Like, we scored 55 points versus Utah State, scored a bunch versus Charleston Southern and Virginia Tech, so that wasn't really a huge concern. I think we're still figuring out about the punting units, the punt coverage. Martel Height is our punt returner. A season ago, he led the conference in punt return yardage. I think people are avoiding him specifically. And then our kicker is one that we're going to trust. Nobody's perfect, so if you told me he misses a field goal on Saturday, absolutely believe you. But he set the program record last year with a 57-yarder versus Missouri. He also has the career record for most 50-plus yard field goals. And he's just a junior. He didn't play at all as a freshman, so he did that entirely through his sophomore and junior campaign so far with like 6 of them. So if we have to trot out Brock Taylor for a game-winning field goal, 40, 45, 50, 55, you know, heck, if he needed to hit a 60-yarder to win the ball game, they're going to send him out there. Range is not his concern. I don't even know that accuracy is his major concern. Again, nobody's perfect, but all things considered, if we need to win a game through special teams, I think Vanderbilt feels fine in that position.
I think this is the ultimate under game, to be honest with you. When you look at it all across the board, it may come down to that. Either Ramos for LSU, the kicker you have at Vanderbilt, hitting that field goal, because I got a feeling this is going to be a razor close game, and LSU don't play good at 11 o'clock in the morning. And their fans, they, most of them ain't woke up good at 11 a.m. in the morning. They ain't had that first good downer yet, you know what I mean?
I know. You need a little cafe au lait or something like that to get into the bloodstream before you start firing. 11's kind of early.
No. They need something stronger than that.
Okay. Well, like, look, man, I'm just throwing the references that I got in my back pocket. You drop whatever you want in that cafe au lait. That's totally fine. We'll see. I do think it's going to be incredibly close.
Yeah, I do.
Whether it's under, over, I don't know. But it's going to be a rock fight, guys.
Yeah, I agree with you. Man, what a great job Clark has done there at Vanderbilt. Because, I mean, would any of us have thought 5 years ago, LSU roll into Vanderbilt and they are 2.5-point underdog? I don't think anybody could have guessed that.
Yeah, Andrew, I think there's probably a lot of Vanderbilt fans that wouldn't have guessed that. But, you know, there's a lot of belief in Clark. Like, generally speaking, he would tell you to a man, like, everything that's happening now feels inevitable to him that Vanderbilt would get to this place. And here we are.
Appreciate the time, Andrew. Have a great call on Saturday morning.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, guys.
Angelo Algretta, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff. You can hear right here on WWLAMFM.com Saturday on the Big 870 AM, 105.3 FM, and the Odyssey app. Coming back with more of the weekend kickoff edition of Sports Talk after this, talking some Saints football, Super Bowl champ Scott Shanley after the break.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.